When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, it's Dave here. This is my wife, Kathy.
Hello.
This is The Cinemile. It's the podcast where we walk home from the movies. Today, we've decided to stay at home on the sofa and watch something that's available on VOD that we've both been meaning to watch. Heard a lot of good word about the film The Kid Detective with Adam Brody.
And it's one of those movies that had the most awful release time of, which was October 2020, so the second lockdown. And just kind of
it bombed
got
and
missed.
Tanked.
Yeah,
and
it got missed. But
nobody's heard about it, really talking about it. So we're going to talk about
it,
and you're going to hear about it. You.
And we've been meaning to watch it, and it's got a just really top line premise that we know about, which is like, you know, the way I did as a kid. Anyway, I read loads of books where there was like a local kid detective in the town, like
Nancy Drew, Hardy Boys,
all those guys.
The Secret Seven. Did you read them as well?
The Blighters, all of those.
Fatty Bulger, like, that's not a PC name anymore.
With the fact that, like, what happens when they grow up and if they were an adult and they were still a kid detective? And that's kind of the only premise we know about this movie. And
which is all you need to know.
Yeah,
that's a great premise. So Adam Brody plays a grown-up kid detective who's still solving, like, the missing cat up the tree. All this kind of stuff. And he's kind of like... a bit beaten down by life. I mean, that's a great premise.
Great premise. So we've rented it. We're going to go and watch it. And we will be back in a minute after you've heard the trailer to talk about it.
Yeah, here's the trailer.
I used to be loved. I used to be a kid detective.
We're all really counting on you.
I was so far ahead of the game. But one day I just woke up behind.
This guy in my homeroom claims he's practiced with the Mets. I need to find out if he's lying.
He's lying. So what can I help you with?
Somebody murdered my boyfriend.
Seriously?
Pretty seriously. He was stabbed 17 times.
Is it possible he was involved in drugs?
No, he would never do drugs.
Gambling?
No, he would never gamble.
Demon worship?
No, he would never worship a demon.
Here comes the kid detective.
Someone's following us.
This isn't safe. They're trying to see how my head works. Somebody's testing me.
Okay, hi, we're back. We've seen the movie, The Kid Detective. If this is your first time here, there's no spoilers for this movie yet. So we're going to give you our general thoughts, then we're going to walk on to Spoiler Street, which is just about 10 minutes away. Mm-hmm. That's where the spoilers happen, naturally. So, Kathy, what did you think of The Kid? You were a big kid detective reader.
I was.
As a kid.
Also an adult detective reader. I love detective genre. Read a lot of Agatha Christie.
Does this hold up? Would you recommend it? It's available for VOD for streaming now.
We're not on commission with the movie. I thoroughly recommend this movie. I thought it was really funny. I think Adam Brody's brilliant. And I actually think he's one of those actors that, like, obviously I watched The O.C. and fancied him back in the day, but I've not seen him much. And then we watched him in...
Fleischman is in Trouble.
Which
and he's good in that.
Really good. And that's a brilliant TV show on Disney Plus for anyone who hasn't seen it. So to see him crop up twice now, I'm really thrilled about. And he's... I always knew he's a good actor. Didn't know he was this good. He absolutely holds this whole film together.
He's the glue.
It's funny.
The kid detective
but it's
glue.
It's funny and kind of sad at the same time, which is always a difficult enough tone to hit. It definitely has a bit of an indie movie feel to it. And it also has a genuinely good mystery at its core, which you have to do. If you've got the word detective in the title of your movie, you have to have a good mystery supporting the whole thing. So I think he as a protagonist is very interesting. I think the mystery is really interesting. And I feel like the whole package was amazing. Dave and I both kept saying, like, God, this is the kind of movie you watch where you're like, oh, as both wanted to be writers at certain points in our lives, God, this is the kind of movie I'd like to write.
Yeah, we both said it.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I would die to have written this. I would just die happy. Like, I'd just hit the end. I'd write that and then I'd just fall over and die.
And then
I'd
I would
so
print
happy.
It on your tombstone for you.
Yeah. What, the whole screenplay?
The whole screenplay.
Or just the end. Because actually, the end would be a great thing to write on a tombstone.
That's true.
Yeah, I agree with you. We had so much fun watching this. I was just grinning. I was just like, this is my one of my favorite types of movies, which I would describe as dark comedies with actual like character substance.
It's giving me like Little Miss Sunshine vibes.
Yes, yeah, exactly. But that exactly, exactly.
It's like indie,
good indie movie with a novel premise that is has a great, unique sense of humor, but is also like trying to present interesting and compelling characters with that you like, that are relatable and that you haven't seen before.
And it's like, you know, the sadness in it too, as there is in life, and that, you know, how does it impact you if, as a child, you were really excellent and excelled, and then as an adult, it's like that thing where, you know, you often hear people talking about now who were in boy bands or girl bands when they were younger, and it's like you kind of had this weird peak of fame and infamy and exposure at a certain age, and then how does it fit into being an adult? And I find they
explore that very
well.
And you're trying to capitalize on that for the rest of your life, and it kind of just runs out of gas, and you become...
It's like, what if Nancy Drew is a grown-up?
You fade into obscurity. Yeah.
But, like, I mean, Nancy Drew is kind of a different story because her dad was also a detective, so she probably took over the family business.
We were also talking a lot watching this about Veronica Mars. It gave us... It was like
so
Veronica
good.
Mars, it, you know, 20 years later.
For anybody who hasn't watched Veronica Mars, it was a TV show in the noughties, I believe. Season one of Veronica Mars is a perfect mystery show. Anyone should go off and watch it. Anyway, we both thoroughly recommend this movie, right?
Oh, I think
absolutely.
It's so good.
Such a good one to
this
rent.
This is the definition of a hidden gem.
Yeah.
Like, we only heard about this because someone else recommended it. We are recommending it to you now.
And I never heard of it at the time
in 2020.
I think
it's a safe bet. I think anyone could watch this. You'd be like... Now, there is some dark subject matter here. But I think it's handled relatively delicately.
Yeah.
It is dealing with some weighty things.
Yeah.
But what it's again so impressive to have the tone of this movie, to have real like laugh out loud absurdist stuff right next to stuff that would not be out of place in like Gone Baby Gone or a really hardcore noir thing.
The most unbelievable part of this movie, Adam Brody playing a 32-year-old.
Yeah, he's about 10 years too old.
Unfathomable.
For this.
Unnecessary.
For this even more.
Why throw that age out?
He must be mid-40s, right?
I don't know what age he is, but he's not 32.
He's got to be older than us,
like,
yeah.
When they say something like that, you're like, wait, but this is really distracting me now.
But what also was distracting is that, like, it didn't... The character...
It didn't need to be 32.
Wasn't improved by being 32.
Yeah.
The character's more compelling if the character's 42.
And it was nothing to do with the setting either. It wasn't like, oh, but bits of it had to be set in the noughties or whatever. Like, there was no reason. But anyway, we're just being nitpicky because we love to be pedantic. Shall we get to Spoiler Street?
Yes, we shall. So, spoilers now.
And don't listen to this if you're going to watch the movie.
Oh, please.
This is an actual mystery and we don't want to
spoil
it for
you. You have to. Yeah, you just have to go watch this movie. It's really good.
It's really delightful.
Right, so spoilers now for The Kid Detective. Okay, can we talk about all the stuff that really made me laugh first, and then let's talk about the mystery maybe.
And the sadder stuff.
So I thought the absolute pinnacle was the whole thing, which they set up so well as a gag. This whole thing of him as a kid constantly like sneaking into people's houses for evidence, then hiding in a closet.
Yeah.
And the way he describes it as the narrator is so specific. You know, it's just like, I would constantly hide in closets and then get caught sneezing. But then they'd kind of let me off with a bit of a smile.
He was
he's
like
a
the
kid
town
detective.
Novelty.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, but the difference between doing that as a kid and as a grown-up, and then they escalate the situation to the point where it's just like, absolutely awful.
Yeah.
He's in the girl's room in the cupboard. It's just you're watching it like, no.
Yeah. Like, what does this look like? And I love all that stuff. I love how they try to deal with and make it funny and sad. That thing of like, he's in a state of kind of arrested development.
Yeah.
The implication is, oh, he's such a loser. He's like with the roommate. The roommate can't stand him. He's like smoking pot. He's like annoying. He's like hanging around. So we're like, oh, immediately he's kind of like the bum. That's how the movie kind of set him off. But then the movie was way more nuanced than that, because you kind of realize like, he's really struggling with depression. And he's like, it, even though it was funny, his parents coming along and checking up on him, as a parent, I was like, God, that's a really difficult situation for everyone. And like,
sorry, when they were tailing him in the car.
I mean, the parents tailing him.
What a reveal.
So funny.
I was so good.
But it's funny though, because the measure of success at the end is that he doesn't have a flatmate anymore. But that's the bit where I was like, but it's normal if you're in your 30s to have a flatmate. And I just think that's really weird in America. As a total side note, it's so weird how in America it's like your success is defined by you're successful if you don't have a roommate.
But you're dead right in your description of this character. He is portraying someone who is dealing with serious depression.
Yeah.
And is not...
Like, he forgets to brush his teeth and stuff.
Yes. And he doesn't know what day of the week it is.
Yeah.
And he is... And I thought Adam Brody plays it so down the middle and so well. Because it's so repressed.
Yeah.
And I thought that was the... I thought the ending of this movie was so incredibly good.
Yeah.
That he just starts... In this moment of like he's got his life together and it's a happy ending relatively, or it's him, you know, being successful and trying to get his life together to some, he just releases in tears.
Yeah.
And I thought it was so beautiful and so
and he remembers
that's him finally acknowledging his own sadness.
Yeah.
and coming
to terms
with it.
And you see him brushing his teeth at the end of the movie and like getting out of bed and stuff. So I think that stuff was like, and I think kind of the overwhelming weight of this kid and then now him, this adult, was that like he's very like his friend Gracie had been kidnapped whatever 20 years ago and he always thought he should have been the one to find her.
Yeah.
And he's never escaped the guilt.
Oh, but my God, what a brilliant way to firstly this screenplay is amazing. To firstly give that that is the turning point by which this kid's life and this man becomes that man.
Yeah.
Where his life is ruined. It's not just that he's faded into obscurity and is in arrested development. He is dealing with guilt his entire life for something that should never have been on his shoulders, but he took upon himself.
And
the
like,
town kind of expected of him, do you know, to a point.
Well, the adults are like, we never expected you to solve it, but he's like, but Gracie was waiting for me.
Oh,
he knew that she
it's
was
actually heartbreaking.
And actually she was waiting for him, or so we think.
And when he finds her, that is
so sad. Like,
it's so bittersweet.
Gracie's plot is so dark that the film sort of touches on it but doesn't quite go into it, and I guess I can
but
see
it also
a counter
doesn't
criticism.
It never shies away from the darkness.
It doesn't shy away from it, but
and it doesn't downplay it either.
It doesn't downplay it, but the film's very much from his point of view, and I would understand, and I haven't, by the way, read any reviews of this film other than I've seen a few people recommend it. I could see the argument of like Gracie's very sad plot of abuse and kidnapping and everything and her kid being taken away from her is kind of there to tell Adam Brody's story, and that is a bit of a criticism. But I think the film bringing her daughter into it actually was a really interesting layer, and I think at one point I was like why is this teenage girl in the film, and I was thinking I wonder if she's Gracie's daughter. But then I was like, no, but Gracie's dead. And that's the point where I think if I'd been thinking better about the mystery, I might have figured out that Gracie wasn't dead. But actually, at that point, it hadn't crossed my mind that she was still alive and that he might rescue her.
Well, there was a point where we were watching where he goes into her house and she's like, oh, this is my parents who died in the skiing accident. And
that was,
so
yeah, that was
obviously
funny.
A stock photo.
Yeah.
So you're like, you're like,
she wasn't lying, though. She thought they were her
no,
parents.
No, I know. But I was like, that's the point where you could probably start to figure out. Now, I didn't figure it out, and I was surprised.
And now this film would have been made in 2019, and the actress who plays the young daughter is...
She's in Yellow Jackets.
Yellow Jackets.
Yeah,
now,
she's
like,
very good in this as well.
She's really good. I thought they were brilliant on screen together, and I was thinking a lesser movie or a movie made even 10 years ago might have had some kind of disgusting like sexual chemistry between him and the girl, but that this movie went nowhere near that, which I'm absolutely thrilled about. My favourite scene in the movie is when he like took the drugs because he was trying to investigate.
yeah.
And it's like seems to be like a mixture of like speed and cocaine.
And
or
when he beats up, and he beats up the teenager.
Oh,
and he's
no.
like, you can't do this to me, and it's just like I'm filled with self confidence.
Oh, what it was like, it was
what
like
did
testosterone.
He had a great line.
It was like yeah, it was like...
It was like coke mixed with some other
steroids.
Stuff.
It was like...
They had a name for it.
I really enjoyed that. I love how he's like, when he goes to the young guy, I'm just going to go and interview all the kids who sit on the stoop to get my... to solve the mystery. And the kid was like, this guy doesn't have a fucking clue. And then he's like, your dad's gay! Because he'd done the investigation for his dad.
That's so funny.
Like, he's so petty, Adam Brody. I enjoyed his pettiness. I enjoyed how crap his mysteries were. I love when, like, early on, someone came to him and they're like, A guy in my school said that he trained with the Mets over the summer, but I don't think he did. And Adam Brony just phones up the mom and goes,
did he do?
Weird question, but did your son play with the Mets over the summer? She's like, no. And he's like, great, takes the $50 off the kid.
So funny.
I loved all that stuff. It layered a lot. It's a great movie.
The other bit was so funny. It plays with the convention stuff well and your audience expectations. When the music starts surging and he goes into the biker bar and he's like, you know, and we've seen this scene a million times, and he's like, I need to speak to Rooker or whatever. And they pat him down, they head him down, and the music is pumping, and it's like, it's starting to ramp up, like, dun, 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 dun. And he says, we need to talk. He just goes, no.
Yeah, why would I talk to you?
He just walks away. And you never see those guys again. I'm like,
I also love the
exactly
idea that
how it would play.
He's always kind of boasting about how he'd solved this particular mystery when he's a teenager, and when he finds out he didn't really solve it.
Oh, that was a great twist.
But then
as
he
well.
Finds out that but then he, because he is good at solving mysteries, he's like, wait, but who brought that mystery to my attention?
Yeah.
And he realizes it was the headmaster. So I think all the stuff with the headmaster was really well done as well.
But it I like that it forced him to examine himself as well. He was always the victim.
Yeah.
And he just assumed that guy was pissed off because he solved the mystery. But it's just like he never, you know, he was very self-absorbed.
And I love when character. He shows us, they show us a montage of he's like, as a kid, whenever he's watching a detective movie, he always guessed who did it really early. But then when you actually watch the montage, we're watching him just guessing it, and the parents
but he
are
gets
like,
it wrong.
But he knew he was getting it right as a kid, and the parents are just like, oh, because he's just spoiling every film for them by constantly guessing. But then he gets it wrong as an adult in his real depression, and you're like, oh god, things are really going badly for him. And we notice a few really fun touches, like he said the town gifted me my office because I was such a good detective because someone had chopped his treehouse down, and then he's still in the office all these years later, and they've just taken the word kid off detective.
Yeah the alignment on his sign, it's like kid just
and
got
they can't take
out.
The office back. And then he had, when he was like a kid and he solves a mystery, the guy was like, you've got free ice cream for life, and it was this really sweet scene. And then as an adult he goes in to get his free ice cream every day, and the guy's like, oh my god, would you go away? I can't believe I'm giving you ice cream.
So funny.
Yeah, it's
oh
so
my god
terrible.
I hope you guys have watched this, and I really, we just spent spoiler street just recanting the jokes and the plot. But
yeah.
I thought the mystery was really good. I thought the this is just a fantastic screenplay.
Yeah,
I'm
really
so
good.
Impressed by it. And Adam Brody is, as you said, like fantastic.
Yeah, brilliant.
Look, thanks for listening. Let us know. Did you? I'd love to talk to somebody about this.
Did you
email
watch
us. thecinemile@gmail.com, or we're on Instagram or Letterboxd at The Cinemile.
And tell us any other movies we should be watching on demand that we may have missed over the last year or so and that you want us to review. Well, there's not very much movies in the cinema.
Okay, bye.
Who is the supplier? Who is the supplier?
The Red Shoe Gang. How long have you lived in this town?
Can it make you feel like a big man to beat up a kid?
Yes!
These girls are awesome.
Yeah, be careful. They're super addictive.